Happy Mother's Day. You're welcome. Glad to have all of you here. Visitors, we're proud that you're with us, and there are several. Some, I think, for the first time with us. We're proud that you're here, and we know we've got some in to visit mothers, and some are away visiting mom, but we're glad for all of you that are here. As we always do, and I think we have at least one, mothers who this is their first Mother's Day to be a mom. Stand up. There you go. Congratulations. It's not Grandfather's Day, or I know we'd had one standing up grinning, so we're going to talk today about a lady of faith on this Mother's Day, because we certainly do appreciate our wives and our mothers and the great impact that they have in our lives and in our community, and they have throughout history. We're going to talk about Rahab this morning, who is one of two ladies who are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith. And we want to look at this lady and what she did and the impact that she had, not only at the time, but in the future of the people of Israel and in our history as the people of God. When we see Rahab, she lives on the city walls of the city of Jericho, which is going to be the first city that Israel is going to go up against as they cross the Jordan River into the land of Canaan. Now, having a house on the city wall sometimes sounds like that would be the great place to be, because the views are good, there's great airflow, all of those things were our real estate agent. But if the city comes under attack, who's the most exposed? Those on the city walls, right? And the whole reason to have a walled city is for protection. And so what we have to realize about Rahab is she's not living in the penthouse suite. She's living in a more dangerous zone. And Rahab is not going to be the most respected person in the town, but she's going to be living probably in a section more looked down on because of her occupation as a prostitute. So that's who Rahab, that's kind of where she's living. That's her background. But let's set the background of what's going on around Jericho and the people of Jericho and Israel, because it's really hard to understand really how significant this lady is until we understand what's happening around her. What is the environment in which she lives? Now, Israel is coming in to take the land of Canaan, but it is now 40 years removed from their first coming to the Jordan and sending spies. And you're familiar with that. When they leave Egypt and they see the power of God in the plagues on the Egyptians, they see how when they come to the Red Sea and the Egyptian army is following them, that there is a barrier between them and the Egyptians that protects them, and that the Red Sea parts for them. And they cross on dry ground, and when the Egyptians pursue them, the waters of the Red Sea close and swallow them. And not only does the waters of the Red Sea swallow them, but as we read the Exodus account, we realize that while they went through on dry ground, and the scripture is very specific about this, that they're able to go through the parting of the water with ease, that as the Egyptian chariots come in, they have great difficulty navigating it until the waters close over them. So it is obvious that God has protected them as they come in to the Sinai Desert. And then we see them begin to mumble and grumble about the environment and the situation that they find themselves in, even though they've seen God's great power. And then as they come in to spy out the land of Canaan, you remember that 10 of the 12 spies are afraid. They are filled with fear and say, the people are giants and the land itself is so wild and so great that it would swallow us up. We feel like grasshoppers next to these people. We've got two spies, Joshua and Caleb, who say, with God's help, we can take the land. And they're shouted down, for lack of a better explanation. And so now here we are 40 years later. Every male 21 years of age and older has died, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. Moses has died. Now Joshua is leading the people of Israel, one of the spies who said we could take it. And now they're going in to take the land. But there still has to be apprehension among Israel, because it's just been 40 years since they said we can't do it at all. And now they're going to go in and begin to take this land that is prosperous and fortified. And so they send spies to spy out the city of Jericho. Jericho sits down just north at the top end of the Salt Sea, and it sits in an area that is hot, deserty, but it's a walled city, and Israel is going to go in. Okay? Israel's going to go in, so that the spies go, and the leadership of Jericho realizes that the spies have come from Israel because they are preparing to take the land. Now, this is a big deal. It's a time of stress, and I think as we read this, you remember now as we look back historically on the invasions at D-Day at Normandy, and that the timing and where they're going to attack and when, all of that was well planned and thought out, and there was an element of surprise and all of those things. So now they're scoping out a land. They're going to cross the sea, or they're going to cross the river, the Jordan River, to get there. And the people are nervous because now they realize they're coming, but how, when, what's going to be their method? It's going to be very different than they expect. But that's the concern. And the attitude of the people in Jericho, we don't have to guess. We know. They are filled with fear of Israel. They are afraid, severely afraid of Israel. And it's interesting, because Israel has been afraid to go into the land of Canaan 40 years earlier because of how fortified and massive it is. But here we are as they prepare to invade, that the people are afraid of them, and here's why. Because they know what happened to the Egyptians when Israel leaves Egypt. Rahab will recite that back to the spies in Joshua chapter 6. She'll say, we know what happened to Egypt when you left. And we know what happened to Og and Sihon, two kings of the Amorites that were destroyed when Israel is marching through to the Jordan River. We know what's happened, and we know that your God is with you, and we are all afraid. And so, the leadership of the city realizes that the spies have come in, and they realize why they're there. And they go to Rahab because it's a place where people would visit because of her occupation. And when they come to Rahab, she tells them that they had left, that before night comes and they close the gates of the city, that those men had left and that they should pursue them. But in fact, they have not left, but Rahab has put them on the flat roof of her house under the flax that she has there, and she has hidden them. Now, she does this at the possibility of great detriment to herself. Because had they caught them there, or known that they had been there, the punishment is immediately going to come to Rahab. But she makes the choice to hide them. Why? It's an important question. It's the first point that I want to make this morning. Because Rahab is a lady of faith. That's why she's mentioned in Hebrews 11. When even Israel is fearful, when all the people around her are afraid, instead of being paralyzed by fear, Rahab analyzes the situation and believes that God truly is powerful. She sees the evidence of what God has done for Israel and knows that God is going to deliver Jericho for the Israelites. And this lady's pretty intelligent because she has faith in what God will do. And instead of saying, I'm going to do everything I can to thwart their plans, to stop the invasion, she says to those spies, and she makes them swear an oath that when God, your God, gives this city of Jericho to you, save me and mine. She acts on faith. She understands that God is going to bring them victory. She can't stop that. But she wants them to protect her and her family, and she protects the spies. And so, their agreement is that you tie a scarlet rope in your window, and that everybody, your family, that's going to be protected is in your house. And if anybody goes out on the street, their blood will be on their heads. But as long as they're in their house and anything happens to them, their blood will be on us. But they also say, if you tell anybody that what we were here and what our plans are, the deal's off. And she agrees to that. And so then when Israel does come to Jericho and marches around it 7 days and doesn't attack in a traditional way, but marches around it until the walls fall. And then when they're ready to burn the city, Joshua tells those spies whom she has hidden to go in and get Rahab and her family out. And they do. And they put a place for her outside the camp, and Joshua 2 and then Joshua 6 will tell us that Rahab continued to live among the people of Israel. Because why? Rahab acted in faith. When everybody else was afraid, when they were paralyzed by fear, when they were paranoid by fear, Rahab acts. She trusts what God's going to do, and then moves in a way that God can use her and God saves her. And it's interesting what Hebrews 11 says. She did not die with the rest of those who were disobedient. When judgment came on the city of Jericho, Rahab was spared because she acted in faith. James will write of Rahab when he talks about faith without works is dead. He will use Rahab as an example of someone who took their faith and put it into action. She acted on faith. She just didn't believe in the theoretical. She acted. And she was spared. When all the others were destroyed, she was spared. The first point about Rahab is Rahab was a woman of faith. The second point from the life of Rahab that I want us to look at, Rahab was a woman who experienced forgiveness. Rahab was a woman who experienced forgiveness. Remember now, Rahab is not living with the Israelites. It's important for us to know. She's living with the inhabitants of Jericho, among the peoples of the Canaanites. That's important. She doesn't know, she may have some knowledge, but she's not under the law at Sinai about adultery and those things. But because of her occupation as a prostitute, she's still outcast from the people. Okay? She's still, her occupation was one that didn't make her welcome among society. Even though she had done wrong, and the scriptures repeatedly will talk about who she was. Rahab the prostitute, they almost go together. Even when we talk about her great faith. But Rahab, even though her past was checkered at best, experienced forgiveness when she acted in faith and allowed God to use her. It's really an important lesson for us, because what she had done was wrong. The life she had lived was wrong. There's absolutely no question about that. But when she sought God and acted in faith, God brought forgiveness to her. Too often, we look at our past and feel that we are condemned in the future and that there is no hope for redemption or forgiveness. And Rahab is a prime example of a woman who experienced forgiveness even though she'd done wrong. That God used her in a tremendous way, and she allowed God to use her. She was in a place to be used, and she allowed God to use her. She acted in faith, the Hebrew writer will tell us. James, the brother of Jesus, will tell us. And she experienced forgiveness. When the rest of the city was destroyed, Rahab was saved because she acted in faith. She was obedient to what God had called her and told her to do. And she was forgiven. It's imperative that we don't let Satan cripple us or our friends and our families into believing that because of our past, we're unworthy, we have no value, that we have no hope. Because the Apostle Paul would say that he was the chiefest of sinners. His words, "I am chiefest of sinners," because he had persecuted and murdered Christians. But he understood that God was forgiving, because Paul, when confronted with the truth of Jesus, repented of his ways and acted in obedient faith toward God. As did Rahab, a woman of faith who experienced forgiveness. And not only in her forgiveness was she just spared from the destruction of Jericho, but she is listed in Matthew chapter 1 in the genealogy of Jesus because she is the grandmother of Boaz. She has a son named Salmon, I don't know how he pronounced it, who was the father of Boaz, who you remember marries Ruth, that we study about, who is interesting. Ruth is a great woman listed in the genealogy of Jesus, and she is a Moabite. So here we have a prostitute from Jericho in the genealogy of Jesus, and a Moabitess woman, a non-Jew in the genealogy of Jesus and the great King David. Women of faith and practice who both found forgiveness. And then not only is Rahab spared, but then she has a future. That because of who Rahab was and the way she acted, not only is a woman of faith who found forgiveness, but a woman whose life changed the future. That God used her in a tremendous way to bring about, one, in really kind of a short-term way, some peace and comfort for Ruth and Naomi, who had pretty tough lives prior to this. had experienced famine and death, but in the longer term, was involved in the lineage, in the family. Through her family would come David, who would be Israel's most renowned king and the man whom God says, this is a man after my own heart, and through whose family the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah himself would come. She acted in faith. And it changed not only her life, but it really changed the history of the whole world. It changed the history of the whole world. And here we are, thousands of years later, and we still know who she is and what she did. Because she acted in faith, she allowed God to forgive her, and in her obedience to God, made a difference in the future. Esther, another great woman of faith, was faced with similar choices that Rahab faced about what she's going to do, what decisions she's going to make, what actions she's going to take that might be destructive to her, but would make a difference for others. And so Mordecai asked her that famous question, how do you not know that you were brought to royalty for such a time as this? How do you not know at this time, at this point, how do you not know that you were placed here to make a decision, to do something that was going to make a difference for your people both now and for years to come? How many of those crossroads do we come to? Because I'm relatively certain that Rahab didn't understand at the moment the great significance of who she was and what she had done. Now, she understood being spared from the destruction of Jericho, what a great thing that was, but I'm sure never realized the far-reaching effect of her decision to be faithful. I'm sure Ruth could never have envisioned the far-reaching impact of the decision she makes when she said, don't ask me to leave you and to not go with you. She didn't realize the impact. But being a faithful woman made a tremendous difference. And for our mothers and those mothers who, those young ladies who will be mothers in the future, and for our wives, the impact of faithfulness, we may not see today how great that impact is, what difference that will make in the future, in our children, in our grandchildren, in our community. But just like Rahab, the decisions of faith that we make, both men and women, God will use in tremendous ways. Even though all of us have things in our past that we would change, we can't go back. What we can do is move forward in faith, being about what God would have us to do and living faithfully. That's what Rahab did. She didn't say, well, here's who I've been, so, you know, I can never be anything more. She acted in faith and did what God called her to do, and God used her in great ways. God spared her from the destruction because of the decisions that she made and the faith that she acted on. Again, never let faith, Satan say, you know, your fate is sealed. There's nothing you can do, because there is always, always forgiveness in the blood of Jesus shed at the cross for those who believe and for those who desire to come to Him, who want to walk in faith and live in service to God, who are cleansed in His blood, who are washed in His blood in the waters of baptism, and walk in faith. And when we walk in faith, God uses us. They may not know our names decades from now, or centuries from now, or thousands of years from now, but we never know the impact that we make in the decisions that we make, in the lives that we live, in the teachings that we share with our children, with our grandchildren, with our families. Walking in faith. Rahab, in a time of fear, when others were paralyzed by fear, here's a woman on the walls of the city who said, I'm going to trust God. And it changed everything. God calls us to have faith in Him, knowing that He is a rewarder of those who who diligently seek after him. That was true not only in Jericho, but it's true in Milton today. If you need to come in a public way, would you do that while we stand and sing?